708 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning. Brian Haldane here with you. Taylor Sharp producing. I appreciate y'all joining us this morning. A jam-packed first hour, and now we'll have a jam-packed second hour as well. If you missed any of the first hour, Renee Amar from the Pelican Institute joined us. Larry Holder from The Athletic talked about the Saints minicamp. And Congressman Mike Johnson stepped in to talk about essentially being called out by Jon Stewart in front of a committee hearing, in front of a testimony by Jon Stewart about the 9/11 Victims Fund. We got to hear Mike Johnson's response, his rebut. Not really a rebut, because he's on the same page as Stewart and clarified, hey, look, we talked before, we talked after. Wasn't part of what you saw on YouTube or what you saw on the network news, but there was plenty of conversation there, and that measure, that legislation has passed committee. It moves on to the full House floor. Coming up this hour, coming up in 6 minutes, Richard Lipsey. A longtime Baton Rouge businessman. He's very passionate about LSU. If you've never read his blog, putlouisianafirst.com, you need to. He's got a pretty heavy blog post out there right now that we're going to talk about, and Richard Lipsey will be on with us in a couple minutes. 7:35, we've got Crime Stoppers, and then to round out the show today, I'm dying to know the appeal of seersucker. Later on this morning, Senator Bill Cassidy will be in front of the Senate floor declaring it National Seersucker Day. I just don't get it. It's not my thing. Now, I know that makes me like anti-Southern or something, but I'm going to have Will from Carriages pop in at the end of the show to talk about why seersucker is so darn popular. Right now, though, it's time for Top Stories and Trending.
Now, Top Stories and Trending, keeping you informed on the stories people will be talking about today. Number 5.
Top Stories and Trending, of course, brought to you by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You could turn that ugly house into cash with DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Any house, any condition. So, story out of Denham Springs. Nearly a month after two dogs kept an entire street on lockdown, attacking humans and killing two horses, a Livingston Parish judge ruled Tuesday the dogs need to be euthanized. Now, he ruled that on Tuesday. We've got a follow-up since Tuesday. Officials say Shane Nobles is on the run from authorities after a judge ordered his dogs to be put down. It's believed he's traveling with the two animals, and arrest warrant's been issued for Nobles for obstruction of a court order. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is asked to call 225-686-2241. He's on the run with his dogs.
Number 4.
A mother and her son were arrested after they allegedly set fire to a car in a Walmart parking lot and let it spread to other vehicles. This actually happened back on February 28th, but the arrest has now come down. The Louisiana State Fire Marshal's Office says Joshua Bougier and Sylvia Williams were arrested for the fire outside the Walmart on Marchand Drive. Investigators determined Bougier and Williams intentionally set the first car on fire. It spread to two nearby vehicles. The Fire Marshal's Office says witness interviews suggest the two had been involved in an ongoing feud with the owner of the car. Look, crime is one thing, but mother and son time is very important.
Number 3.
The mayor's office wants an improvement plan from public services amid mass complaints. We've seen stories repeatedly about complaints about our garbage pickup. Complaints on late pickups or no pickups altogether. We heard the story yesterday about somebody in Shenandoah confronting one of the pickup people, and that person in response just turning around and giving them the finger. Well, for weeks, many council members have been hearing from angry constituents looking for answers. The mayor's office has now asked for public services to come up with an improvement action plan laying out how they'll take care of the demand. Councilwoman Shauna Banks is looking forward to seeing a plan. She said, quote, "We need to talk about how many miles are on the trucks, what the maintenance is, and making sure we have enough workers," said Banks. How many miles are on the trucks? Talk about missing the point.
Number 2.
John Paul Funes was in court yesterday for his first hearing. The fired president of Our Lady of Lake Foundation, John Paul Funes, was charged in federal court on Tuesday, had his first hearing yesterday. The Department of Justice announced Tuesday the former head of the hospital's fundraising arm was charged with wire fraud and money laundering in the scheme involving Our Lady of the Lake funds. John Paul Funes will be back in court next week, where he is expected to plead guilty to those charges.
Number 1.
Out to St. Gabriel, where bond has been set for an Iberville Parish deputy arrested for allegedly filming the rape of a 1-year-old boy. The bond for 42-year-old Shadrick Jones, who allegedly incited the incident, is set at $465,000. Bond for Aisha Todd, the woman accused of performing the acts, is set at $435,000. The setting of their bond amounts comes just days after police revealed disturbing new details in the investigation. According to police, Jones threw his phone into the Mississippi River just before his arrest in an attempt to get rid of the evidence. Investigators say the video linking Jones to the assault had already been shared, and he allegedly had numerous more videos of similar encounters on his phone. As of right now, the child, by the way, the one-year-old, is in the care of a relative. That's a look at your top stories presented by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. If you've got a house you can't get rid of, you need to check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Flooded, damaged, inherited property you never wanted in the first place, sitting on the market for too long and just not moving, DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Or if you want an apartment complex, Dale can help you out. DaleBuysHousesNow.com. An apartment complex, a trailer park, any commercial property, really, he can help you out. Give him a call at 291-8000, 225-291-8000 for DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Those are your top stories. Here's what's trending this morning. A local model went from the boot to the Big Apple to make her dreams come true. After being featured in Sports Illustrated, Brooks Nader is now competing to land the cover of the Sports Illustrated's 2020 swimsuit issue. The Episcopal High graduate says modeling's always been a passion. She's leaving Tulane University to pursue her modeling career. Quote, "My experience in SI Swimsuit has been the best experience ever." She said, it's such an iconic magazine. I never thought it was possible to get in this magazine. And while in New York, Nader decided to join the SI competition. The odds were not exactly in her favor, beating 15,000 girls in an open tryout. This led Nader to land it on a two-page spread in the magazine's celebrated issue, which featured Tyra Banks and others. Quote, "Basically, I came to New York for an internship. I was 19, I was a freshman at Tulane, and I basically got scouted randomly at a rough bar when I was with a couple of girlfriends." It's amazing how success stories could turn around like that. Check out WBRZ.com for the full story there, because they've got the link. They've got the link to go ahead and vote for her. So if you wanted to vote for a local girl, then, you know, help her out right there. 7:15, we're talking to Richard Lipsy right after a quick break and then a look at traffic. But first, I got to tell you about my friends over at St. Michael High School. SMHSBR.org is the website. Look, it's summertime now. The kids are out of school. You're like, "Brian, why are you thinking about school right now?" Well, because you're likely going to have another year of it coming up. And if you've got a kid who's of the age of, you know, looking to start looking at high schools, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, if you're in that realm, SMHSBR.org. You're going to want to learn more about just their education, though. You're going to want to learn more about the well-rounded Catholic development, the environment they present at St. Michael High School. It's not just about what goes on in the classroom, although what goes on in the classroom is pretty impressive. You're talking about ACT scores that have been on an uptick for the last decade. You're talking about 90% of graduates moving on to a four-year college. You're talking about $7.6 million last year, not this year that just ended, the year before, $7.6 million in scholarships going to those students. SMHSBR.org. You're going to want to learn more. Richard Lipsy, he's next. /7:19 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you, and thank you for joining me this morning. I've been looking forward to this interview since I read this blog post yesterday. I'm going to read the headline to you real quick. The latest King Alexander scandal at LSU goes far beyond what's in the audit. Joining me right now is the author of this blog, Richard Lipsy. Good morning, Mr. Lipsy. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Brian. Just fine. Thank you.
So, and thank you for joining me this morning. The latest King Alexander scandal at LSU goes far beyond what's in the audit. Let's start with what's in the audit.
Well, good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And first of all, Brian, let me just clarify one thing, and I think I said it pretty well in my blog, is the fact that this is not a personality issue. This is about my love and the people I know and the tens of thousands of LSU alumni that love LSU and bleed purple and gold. We're looking for what is best for our university, LSU. We want to know why all of these changes are happening, why these scandals are happening. And I guess this really started back in August when the president of the university made the sole decision to change the admissions policy at LSU and go to this holistic admissions. And that just had myself and so many of my friends and people around the country, LSU graduates, upset because of the great progress that had been made over the last, 20, 30 years
right.
at LSU and bringing up the GPA and bringing up the ACT scores and really setting LSU as a real flagship university. So much for that. But that's the whole point of this. And when this happened and came to the forefront, this is another item that had been hidden from the Board of Supervisors, hidden from the state of Louisiana, and all at once we have the realization that a public university, the state of Louisiana, public money and federal money was being pumped into a private company for the benefit of few, the company called AHIT, for the benefit of few. And it just, when the audit came out, I had heard about this for years, and but I didn't know a lot about it myself. But I got several calls from people that were very familiar with the situation. And these are people that worked at LSU. These are people that were previous board members
mm-hmm.
that had been very upset once they found out about this, that it was hidden from the university, hidden from the Board of Supervisors. And you come out with this report, and you find out that in the report, and I don't know how far you want me to go with this, but it was
well, as far as you're comfortable with.
well, it really, LHIT was made to hide money from the state of Louisiana. So that LSU would still get its full allocations of funds. They fully expected this to be a quick $50 million hit for LSU, and they didn't want the state of Louisiana to find out about it. In the audit, it comes out that the LSU paid private lawyers for LSU to work on LHIT and paid them over $400,000, at least that much, and it could be significantly more. And one thing that was very troubling, if you look through all of the documents related to this, the original document was LSU, and this is very serious, LSU was going to only get 5% of the proceeds in the original document, where LSU normally would get 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And the developer was going to get nothing, zero. The man that wrote, or the team, I'm not ever sure right now whether it was one man or a group of people, but I think basically it was one man at LSU that wrote this, and he was going to get nothing. LHIT was going to contract or license this product to a company called Harmonique. And Harmonique was going to use a line of credit backed by LSU. And LSU was assigning contracts for the guarantee that would make LSU responsible for the payment of the money that was going to Harmony, and that was like an $8.8 million guarantee.
How do numbers that big get past the Board of Supervisors?
What's that? I'm sorry.
How do numbers that big get by without the Board of Supervisors being able to see it or notice it?
It was all mixed in down there in New Orleans with the Health Science Service Center, and these numbers never were made available to the Board of Regents. And if you read yesterday on LouisianaFirst.com, my website, and put Louisiana First, my Facebook, you will see in print, where it was on the docket to present to the Board of Supervisors. But at the last minute, they realized that one of the members of the Board of Supervisors, who was chair of the committee overseeing the medical, overseeing contracts, et cetera, for the medical school and all the medical programs for LSU, was on the board of LIHT, as was the daughter of another one of the board members.
And that's the amazing part to me, is you're getting something past the Board of Supervisors while employing relatives of the Board of Supervisors.
Right. And this was never, so at the last minute, if you look at my report in print, I have a picture of it showing those board members on the border.
Yeah. With it scratched out, yeah.
Also, there is a picture that shows the agenda from the June 19, 2015 LSU board meeting, which anyone can go on the LSU board site on the internet and look under board minutes and go back to the June 19th, 2015 minute meeting. Anybody can do that. Listen to the radio and you will see where the item to present LIHT to the board at the last minute, the president of the university withdrew that from the board meeting. The mistake, I guess, that he made, he didn't take it off of the agenda altogether. He just lined through it.
Crossed it out so we could still read it. Richard Lipsey is our guest. I'm sorry, we got about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to touch on one more point before we have to hit our news break. Got a hard break in 2 minutes. You do talk about in your blog about King Alexander's response to this. Could you elaborate on his response and where it goes wrong?
Well, the report mentions the conflict. The report, not the response from King Alexander,
gotcha,
mentions the conflict of interest of the board members. It does not mention the fact that asking the ethics board to look into their conflicts of interest and that of, the president of the university. It only asked to look at the five employees that left LSU and then went to work for Harmonique, which was the company that LIHT contracted with to market the program. Those five employees left LSU and went to work for that company. So I guess the best expression is the president asked purposely all the wrong questions and gave all the wrong answers and did nothing to show that this was genuinely fraud. This is an act of fraud using state and federal money to support a private institution, and at the same time putting your board member on that board. That is not common. That does not normally happen, as somebody at the auditor's office said. That is a bunch of bull. And this is strictly a case of fraud, and I'm certainly hoping that perhaps the Attorney General will look into this, because this is what's been going on for more than 1 year or 2 years at LSU. Things have been done in the past and not brought to the attention of the Board of Supervisors. It's illegal, and it has to end, and it needs to end now.
Richard Lipsey, I can't thank you enough for the time. Very, very illuminating information. If you've not yet read the blog, it's putlouisianafirst.com. I recommend saving it as a favorite, because anything, something new pops up that Richard's been working on, I'm dialed in every single time. Mr. Lipsey, thank you for the time this morning, sir.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye. Thanks,
babe. Heavy allegations from Richard Lipsey there. It is important to note that we are talking about allegations. We do thank Mr. Lipsey for his time. We're going to put a link back to that blog when we post this interview at talk1073.com. We'll put a link back to the blog there as well. Right now, we're due for news. Here's the latest from Louisiana Radio Network. Seven 38, Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you, and you've got us for another 22 minutes or so before we take you up to CBS News at the top of the hour. Right now, it is time for our Crime Stopper segment, and welcome to the Facebook Live audience as well. This week in our Crime Stopper segment, we're going to talk about something that gets a little bit more difficult to talk about. You know, sometimes we're talking about how communities can get involved and helping things moving forward, and other times we're talking about things that have already happened in the past, and that's one of those ones we're talking about today. We're talking about a cold case with homicide detective Lindsay Lacoste. Lindsay, good morning. Welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I am doing great. You've got a cold case to talk about this morning, so I want you to start with the details, start with the case itself. Go ahead.
This is a case that that never really seems to go away. This happened November 30th, 2016, in the 1100 block of North 47th Street. A young female, April Netter, was gunned down.
How young?
I believe she was 19.
Okay.
I don't remember her age exactly.
No worries.
I know she was just starting out. She was in college. She was actually back in town to visit family and friends. So she was, you know, she was moving forward with her life, doing everything she was supposed to do. We do know she wasn't the intended target, which makes it that much more difficult.
You know, we talked with some folks from the other side of the river about a victim not long ago who was not the intended target as well.
Yes.
And it just it heightens the tragedy of it. It heightens the sadness of it, because this isn't like, you know, this isn't where there's any justification at all. You know, there's never real justification, but when it's not the intended target, when it's someone who is 100% innocent in the whole situation, It makes it that much worse. I'm sorry. Continue, please.
Yeah, it does. It makes it that much harder for the families. You know, she's out there doing everything she's supposed to do in life, trying to get herself together, and not out there causing problems or having a reason for anybody to want to do this to her.
Mm-hmm.
So the case initially, you know, we had a lot of physical evidence on the scene. Obviously, she's sitting in a car. This was a drive-by scenario with multiple shooters. We had a lot of shell casings. We had things that we were following up on, but it went kind of cold pretty quickly as far as anything concrete. You know, we did really well with people calling in, giving us information, but it was nothing that people really want to come forward with and say for sure, like on the record, like this is what's going on. So we were able to get, you know, like a pool of people who we think had some involvement, but just nothing concrete on them.
Why did it go so cold so fast?
I think in this case, this was a lot bigger than what we realize as far as the involvement, the people that are involved. This goes back to a lot of money, people paying money for these attempts, what we call them hits. And so there's a legitimate reason for people to be scared in the city, not wanting to talk about these certain people that are involved.
Okay, so that kind of opens up a can of worms that I have to ask about. And I know it's tough to talk about an ongoing investigation, even if we're 3 years removed from it. But you said money and hits. That
Yes.
Now you're talking about like executive producer Dick Wolf type stuff. Like that. So expound on that if you would.
So part of the reason for this murder that we believe is there was a target.
Do we know the intended target?
Yes, we do.
Are you at liberty to talk about the intended target?
No.
Okay.
The intended target was in that area prior to.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that whoever did the shooting came back and she just happened to have been there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train.
It's okay. Sorry. The intended target was in the area prior to. Go ahead.
And so we everything that we've been hearing was that some bigger people had paid to get this guy killed, essentially, because of his involvement in a potential robbery.
Okay.
So yes, it does kind of open up a can of worms. There are people out there in the community seem to have a lot of reach.
Okay.
They're what people consider dangerous people. So when they do give us information, of course, they don't want to be identified. They don't want to be contacted for follow up. They want to give us what they're hearing or what they, you know, a little bit what they know. And that's as far as it goes. You know, you try to reach out to people to follow up on the case and say, hey, come talk to me.
Sure.
We can help you. And that never happens.
Is there a distrust with police or is there a fear among people for repercussions? Because I think those two aren't necessarily, those two can be separate things. They can trust police, but still fear for their lives.
I think they can trust us so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're so far that they're willing to trust us. I think when it comes to their family and their life, they have a lot of distrust that we can't protect them because we can't be there 24/7.
Sure.
There's so much that we can do to maybe get them out of the area, get them out of town. But we're talking about uprooting an entire family, an entire life. And that's just not something that's easy to do. And ultimately, you know, you have to tell them, I mean, it's up to you. You have to, you know, watch over your shoulder. You have to change everything about your life. You have to move somewhere and not tell your family where you are. And that's extremely hard. So it's better for them to stay quiet and stay where they are.
And in their eyes, yes. But at the same time, you're staying quiet, staying where you are and being the next unintended victim.
Possibly.
Potentially. Yes. So, okay. So that was 2016.
Yes.
When the case ran cold. We are now in 2019. Where do you pick up from here?
Well, fortunately, because of Crime Stoppers, we do have some information that's coming in. But again, it may only take us so far if the person who's given us this information just gives us small tidbits and doesn't want to talk to us to get us any further than that. So right now, it's actually kind of picking up a little bit as far as the tips are coming in.
Okay.
And then, you know, we're always looking for new technology that can help us on the, especially, you know, this case is always in the back of my mind.
New technology help us with this?
Well, there's some things that we're looking at, trying to get right now. I believe the State Police Crime Lab is interested in some new technologies as far as getting certain, basically fingerprints off of shell casings.
Okay.
Things that are permanently there,
right?
That you can't see with the naked eye, things like that. So anytime there's new technology, cell phone technology, things like that, I'm always going to go back. This case is one that sticks with me. That anytime I hear something new, I'm going back on this case and I'm applying that.
So, yeah.
So hopefully we can get somewhere with, you know, some of these newer technologies.
Detective Lindsay Lacoste is our guest. It's Crime Stoppers as we do every Thursday at 7:35, and today we're talking about a cold case from back in 2016. Where April Netter was unintentionally gunned down, and her killing is unsolved to date. Had someone in our activity stream, we have an app where people can real-time communicate with the show, who said, I'd wager the intended target knows who did the shooting.
Yes, possibly.
So are y'all able to talk to the intended target?
The intended target is...
I know you're not at liberty to say the intended target's name, but...
Less than cooperative.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, but, well, I mean, and I know we're 3 years later, so if something was going to happen, it probably would have, but, you know, and this is my way of thinking. Might not be the same way of thinking, but my way of thinking was if they missed me yesterday, they're coming back today or tomorrow. So,
possibly.
That's yeah, but.
In a case where money is possibly the motive.
Right.
As far as the shooters,
mm-hmm.
if the money's no longer there, the motive's no longer there.
Okay.
So it's a lot of moving parts in this case. There's a lot of, like I said, bigger players involved because of the nature of she's just there, you know. So it's hard to look at April and say, what did April do? The whole time you're looking at these intended targets. And so if there's no money there to essentially carry out this murder, then the motive's gone. So his cooperation is, you know, at this point, I don't know if it'll change at all.
See, this is how green I am to the whole thing. Like if I were to pay someone to kill someone and someone else got killed, not the person, I'd be looking for my money back. There would be other crimes to happen still to go, you know?
Yeah.
Or no payment. That's how little I know about that world. Anyway, how can folks help?
Just obviously calling in Crime Stoppers, giving us any information that you know. Every little bit helps, whether it eliminates certain things or it makes kind of puts that puzzle piece together for us and allows us to move forward with the case. There's a lot of things that the community knows that we will never know until they tell us, because we can't just go out there. People are not going to be as forthcoming with us as they will be with each other, even if it's the rumor mill. The rumor mill usually has some truth to it. So we can weed through that information, but they have to give it to us via Crime Stoppers or obviously call in my office.
So 344-STOP to call Crime Stoppers. Your anonymity is protected through Crime Stoppers.
Yes.
And I don't think that can't be overstated. Like, that is so important to this whole thing. Your anonymity is protected in this regard. Detective Lindsay Lacoste, we got you for another minute or so before we got to hit your money now. So in that last, let's call it 90 seconds, handicap for me your level of confidence that this will get solved moving forward. It's tough to ask that, and it's probably tougher to answer, but how confident are you that you're going to see some movement here?
I feel like since the beginning, we know certain players involved. Mm-hmm. I feel fairly confident that one day we'll be able to get that evidence to clear this case.
Sure.
Just because we feel like we have a good handle on who's involved. It's just getting that information that will give us the PC to put them in jail.
Yeah, time passing is often a negative when it comes to solving crimes, as I've learned through these interviews. Is there ever a time where time passing may have been like, okay, I feel like I'm in the clear so I can talk as a witness or something like that? Is that ever?
Actually, I think sometimes in certain cases, time passing is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because in this case, like I said, we recently got a Crime Stoppers tip. Things have changed with maybe a potential suspect, and people feel more confident they can talk. This person might not be around anymore, or certain things like that.
Yeah,
so it does help with
real
time passing, or they feel more comfortable. They may have changed their situation. They may not even be in the area anymore. So
good to know. Detective Lindsay Lacoste, I can't thank you enough for the time this morning, and good luck on this case.
Thank you.
We want to hear a follow-up as it moves forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Coming up on 7:50 at Talk 107.3 FM, time for us to take a look at your money now. Then we're going to wrap up by talking about seersucker suits, of all things. Yeah. That's coming up next on Talk 107.3 FM. And as long as I got my suit and tie, I won't leave it out on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a good thing. 7:56 to Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Going to be talking about your suit and tie in just a minute. But first, I do need to take a quick second to wish happy birthday to my beautiful bride, Christy Haldane, who should be on her way to dropping off the kids at swim practice, because dropping off kids is like half of her life, the other half picking them up. So, happy birthday, sweetheart. I hope you have a wonderful day today, and look forward to seeing you tonight. Me and the kids will probably bake you a cake, and we will probably fail miserably, but I promise to clean up the kitchen after we do. Happy birthday, sweetie. I love you. All right, you heard the lead-in music. Suit and tie, Justin Timberlake. Why are we playing suit and tie? Because today in front of the U.S. Senate, Senator Bill Cassidy and colleagues, well, they'll take an official photo in front of the Senate, and they are hosting National Seersucker Day. Now, I, and it seems to be an unpopular opinion, cannot stand seersucker. I don't get the appeal of it. Here to school me is Will Aguirre from Carriages. Will, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you on here, because I feel like I'm in the minority here, and I feel like my opinion is probably wrong. So talk to me about seersucker. What is the appeal of seersucker, and why is it so damn popular, especially in the South?
Right. So the thing about seersucker, and you kind of mentioned it there, it's kind of an institution in Louisiana. It's an old Southern tradition, and the idea is that it's it's hot down here. So they developed a fabric to combat the heat. Seersucker puckers, kind of. It's not like a smooth fabric. So the fabric doesn't lie flat on your skin. It allows circulation, some airflow, kind of a barrier between your clothes and your body, which helps cool things down a bit.
It always looks like it was in a pile in the corner of your room and you threw it on with like 5 minutes to get out of the house.
Yeah, that's kind of the aesthetic of it. Same thing with linen. If you can't deal with a wrinkle or two, it's probably just not the right fabric for you. But it is pretty great and certainly famous in the South.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I don't know a lot about the history of seersucker, but if it's so popular in the South, why is it not moved like out West? Like it's popular here, but you never see it in, say, Arizona or California.
Honestly, I think it's just the special heat and humidity that we have here, and we kind of hold on to our traditions maybe a bit more than others do.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer was because they don't know what's good for them. Will Aguirre with Carriages is our guest right now. Got about a minute left. Will, what's going on at Carriages right now, man? I know Father's Day is coming up, so there's got to be a lot going on at Carriages, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Father's Day is this weekend, if you've got a husband or father or son that you've been thinking about and has been especially good, we're here to help you out. Lots of swimsuits this time of year are great gifts. Shirt and ties for the guy that's wearing that, or a golf shirt, and for somebody that might really be deserving, sport coats. Sport coats are really great right now.
And I'm sure seersucker as well is available, correct?
A little bit of seersucker, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Will, where is Carriages located for those that want to find y'all?
We're in the Bocage Village Shopping Center. It's the corner of Jefferson Highway and Old Hammond.
It is a Baton Rouge staple. We all know where to find it. Will Aguirre from Carriages, thank you for the time this morning, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Kept posting the app. Great LSU shirts at Carriages. And he's absolutely right. Brian Kilmeade is next.